if you're trying to buy a home right now, the timing, it feels pretty awful. Prices are still rising, homes selling well above asking, but mortgage rates have been finally easing. So people are asking some very simple questions. Should I buy now, or would I be mad not to wait until at least next year, or maybe until the next recession hits? It's News Talk Daily. I'm Sean Defoe. There's a lot of noise around the housing market at the moment, but not a whole pile of certainty. Some reports say the price inflation is finally slowing. Others show homes selling for tens and sometimes hundreds of thousands over the asking price. At the same time, mortgage rates are at their lowest point in almost 2 years, while the wider economy continues to outperform expectations, even as other countries struggle. So today on News Talk Daily, rather than asking whether the market is good or bad, because we'd be paid a lot more money if we could say that, we're looking ahead. What do the signs actually point to in 2026, and what role will mortgages and interest rates play? And does waiting for a crash make sense in this version of the housing market? Joining me is Michael Dowling, Senior Mortgage Advisor with Irish Mortgage Brokers. Michael, you're very welcome to News Talk Daily.
Thank you very much, John.
So look, let's start with the big picture. And when you're looking at 2026, it's kind of hard to see anything but price inflation, is it?
Unfortunately, yes. When you look at the situation we're faced with, we've a dysfunctional property market, and a dysfunctional property market for well over 10 years. We've huge demand, both from first-time buyers, from people who wish to trade up or trade down, and all of whom are working and operating in an environment where there's limited supply. Mm. So we're not building enough new homes. And the trading of second-hand homes is at a very low level comparable to where it should be.
Right. So fewer people are putting their home on the market because there's nowhere for them to go.
Exactly. So if you look at it, say, in 2024, there were 61,000 homes sold, represents just under 3% of the entire housing stock. In reality, we should be trading between 4 and 5% of our housing stock. And we were doing that up to 2022. So there's been a dramatic reduction in the number of second-hand homes that are available. And that's impacting on prices because less supply means more and more people are looking for that limited supply. And the knock-on effect then, unfortunately, is the prices are rising and will continue to do so.
While we're talking about supply, let's talk about something that I know will be talked about in pubs across the country for people who are considering. And that is, sure, I'll save now and I'll wait for the next recession, because we all saw in the last recession that house prices tumbled and people, if you had money at the time, great for you, you got a bargain. But market conditions are a bit different now. If there was a recession in the morning, would they necessarily get massively cheaper?
Well, clearly, like the last recession we had, we clearly don't want to see that repeating because property prices, residential property prices fell by 75%. There was massive negative equity, and we're still dealing with some of the fallout from the arrears profile that developed then. But clearly, if there is a significant shock, and I think it will need to be a shock from outside of Ireland, because within Ireland, we're controlling many of the controllables, shall we say. Yes, prices will be cheaper. That's the honest answer to that question. But will we see what happened before? I don't believe so. Like the changes that have happened, I suppose the most significant one is that the central bank have brought in what we call macroprudential rules. I'm old enough to remember in the last recession, banks were lending 110% of the purchase price. You could borrow 6 to 7 times your income. I mean, it was crazy stuff, never to be repeated. But the banks were just on this mission to grow profitability. And that's what it was pure greed. So they lent more and more money. So you've now got the macroprudential rules came in 2015. And that restricts the percentage a bank can lend, which is capped at 90% of the purchase price. And secondly, then you've got income multiple caps. So as a first-time buyer, you can borrow 4 times your income. And as a second-time buyer, you can borrow 3.5 times your income. All of those are constraining factors, which I think will help in the event of having another potential knock-on or negative impact on property prices.
There's also just that there's less houses out there, because when we came out of the last crash, there was, up to 80,000 a year being built, and suddenly there were all these homes. We've seen the ghost estates and everything else. And so there was an overabundance of supply, whereas even if tomorrow we were to have a recession like 2008, housing is still a scarce commodity.
Oh, very much so. I mean, again, in 2006, we built 90,000 new properties. I mean, at the time, the UK built 167,000.
Wow.
Now, their economy is tenfold bigger than ours. So we just had massive supply of stock. Now, this year, we'll build at best 35,000 new properties. The demand is for 70,000 plus. We're nowhere near that. No disrespect to the current government, we're not going to achieve that.
I'd say a lot of people would say disrespect to the current government. I mean, we were meant to have 40,000 last year. That's what was promised during the election. Didn't get near it.
The government minister suggested everybody in the industry knew at September we were never going to hit those figures. And we will struggle to hit the targets that are being set. Like by 2030, we're going to have 300,000 new homes. I think we're going to struggle for a number of reasons. One, we don't have the infrastructure. Our electricity, water, planning, all major roadblocks in terms of achieving that. And then, like, secondly, we don't have the workers. Like, do we have enough workers to build that level? I don't believe we have. Because, again, in the previous boom times, we had a significant number of Eastern European people who came over and built, particularly, say, people from Poland. Like, they're all gone back home now because the Polish economy is one of the big growers in Europe. So we don't have the workers to do so. So it's a huge challenge, and one that, with all due respects, I don't see the current government achieving the targets they've set out to achieve.
What do you think best case scenario out of that 300,000 is?
If we get to an average of about 40,000 per year, we'll be doing well, in my opinion. Again, back to the delays in planning, infrastructure. Like, we can see all the delays that are there, despite the changes and significant changes in the planning legislation. There's still roadblocks. You've got judicial reviews. You've got a whole load of issues that are there that are preventing. And also, you've got people my age who are comfortable. They own their own home, probably have no mortgage on it, and they're the ones who are objecting.
Mm.
I think it's all wrong. They're also the people who are complaining that their son and daughter can't get a home. But there's too much NIMBYism out there, and we should respect the fact that, look, we got to build high, which we don't do. But we really, like, the idea of somebody my age objecting to a development that's geared towards people my son's and daughter's age, I just think it's all wrong.
Yeah.
And those attitudes have to change.
Yeah. And that's a wider piece that will take more than just a bit of government policy to change, although they could change things like judicial review, for example, and they're going to be looking at that. When it comes to house prices, and I think the frustrating thing a lot of people find is you might see a house listed for 300,000 or X, and you almost have to go into bidding on that house knowing that's not even a baseline anymore, that house is going to go for 350 or even more. Like, how much of a, not only a dispiriting effect on buyers, but a distorting effect is that having on the market?
Yeah, clearly it's a serious problem. I mean, I deal with first-time buyers every day of the week, and particularly when they're looking at second-hand homes, because when you buy a new home, the price is fixed. Mm. Like, there's no negotiation with the builder or the estate agent. If it's 300, 400, that's the price.
Although that said, I've seen people trying to do that with new builds recently, where they've said, well, we're looking for this, and if someone comes in with more than that, that'll be fine. You know, it's not, it, that definitely was the way and is in the majority of cases, but it's being fiddled with a bit. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, not at all. But when you go for a secondhand property, so there's limited stock, you've got 10 clients of mine, no, not necessarily me, but all of exactly the same, young, first-time buyers, they've got their deposits, they've got their loan approval, and they're all chasing the same property. Auctioneers are setting the price at a level to get interest. It's not the realistic level, because they know themselves where the market is at. That's why they're an estate agent. Mm. That's why they're in the business. But they always set properties at a level below to generate what they call demand, and interest is the word they use. But the difficulty then is, if you saw from the recent Bank of Ireland My Home report, like 2 in 5 properties sold for 10% above the asking price. 1 in 7 sold for 20% above the asking price. So it's really frustrating. And then there a lot of buyers then just don't have faith in the process. Like, are these real bids? Are they just brought in there to kind of create this demand as such?
The transparency is a nightmare. And in fairness to some of the bigger brokers, they have this online system. Yeah. And you might have a bit more faith in that, though you'd still question sometimes when a few bids come in. But a lot of the smaller agents, you're kind of relying on their word.
Yeah, you are. No. Having said that, all agents are licensed by the Property Registration Authority. And if there's any evidence of not behaving appropriately, they have the ultimate sanction of taking the license away. So I think there is appropriate controls there. But I don't disagree with you. Do estate agents check when someone makes a bid? Are they loan approved? Can they deliver on that bid? Not every agent does. But the larger agents have online portals and you can see the bids being made. You can see the increases that are happening, as frustrating as that is. But I think the larger agents, they're not going to compromise what they're about in terms of taking false bids. But I'm not sure even some of the large agents check when someone makes an actual bid, can they deliver? And that's where frustration comes in as well, because you may have seen that the house sold for a certain price. You had opted out at 10 grand less. And then a month later, it's back for sale, or the agent comes back to you. And that's because they didn't do their job in the first place in establishing clearly, has that buyer an ability to purchase at that level?
There's a friend of mine going through this process at the moment who's trying to buy. And in fairness to one, there was one small agent, a lot of them are exactly like you say, they don't really vet, they don't really check. There is one agent who wouldn't let anyone bid on the house until they were sale agreed on their own property or had the funds in place, and like wouldn't even let my mate put a bid on. So some people are doing it, but like you said, you question. Interest rates, another big one. And I slightly blame Trump for this. There's a wider picture to it. But anyway, they were coming down, then they weren't. What's going to happen in 2026?
Yeah, well, I suppose, look, the good news is rates have fallen from ECB base rate was 4% in September 23. It's fallen to 2% now. So that's good news. The cycle expectation was we would have seen further decreases this year. We haven't seen any changes since the last decrease, which was in June this year. So my expectation is I don't see evidence that we're going to see rates falling in 2026, but they're not going to rise.
Okay.
So I think that's good news. But that cycle of downward movement, I think, has reached its end. But we've got very attractive interest rates out there now.
So the best you can get is what, about 3%?
Yeah. So if you look at the market, in a sense, is kind of like divided in two ways, in that for properties that are new, so those with a BEAR rating, that's a building energy rating of A or B. Well, most new homes would be A now. So the big banks, the AIBs, the Bank of Ireland, the Permanent TSBs, now they control 90% of the mortgage market. They will give you a cheaper rate for a new property, BEAR rating A. So you can get 3% fixed today for a 3 or 5 year period, which is a historically an exceptionally keenly priced rate. If it's non-green, rates are a little bit different, but dearer, but not exceptionally different. So there's very good value out there. I know nobody likes paying them out, but in terms of that historical context, and as I say, I'm over 30 years in the business, a 3% fixed rate at 3 or 5 years is very good value.
Our own 4 year is coming up, and we got a rate of 2% at the time. We got this golden rate that I will never see again in my life. And now
I don't know who that bank was. Yeah, obviously, yeah, they, there was a bank at that time lending at 1.95%. And that's probably where you are, just under 2. No, look, I don't think we're going to return to those levels, but at 3% fixed, it's still keen. I mean, you can get a 30-year mortgage today fixed at 3.4%. Now, again, there isn't a huge desire among Irish borrowers to go longer term fixed. But to me, a 30-year fixed at 3.4% is very good value.
Okay. When we are talking, I suppose, about those rates then and the different interest in the mortgage, a lot of people are wondering what term to fix for. Few bits happening. You've got the likes of Revolut and others, Nua, who've come into the market and maybe don't have the best rates, but might have in the future. And then you've got the sale of PTSB. And you're hoping maybe a big European bank comes in there. If you were advising someone who was thinking, okay, I don't really want to spend, I don't really want to fix for 4 or 5 years, I'm going to fix for 2 maybe and see how I get on. Is the market in that 2 years likely to be more competitive?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, the value today is in the 3 and 5 year fixed rate space because that's where the demand is. Customers don't want a 1 year fixed rate. It's too short a period. And I was always advocate, particularly for first time buyers, it's your first mortgage. Some of you may be living at home, so you're not used to the other bills that come with owning your own property. I would always say, look, firstly, it's not a race to pay back your mortgage. Loads of things will go on in your life over a 10, 15, 20 year period. So I would always say in the first 3 to 5 years, select a repayment you're comfortable with. As I say, you've other bills to pay. Maybe you've plans to have children. That's going to be an additional cost you don't have now at the moment. So as I say, it's not a race to pay your mortgage. Get something you're comfortable with, and also a mortgage that has some flexibility. If you wanted to make a part payment during that fixed rate period, you can do so. And most fixed rates have that flexibility now, which they wouldn't have had in the past.
Would you expect the likes of the new entrants and the PTSB sale to change the market much? Like, are there going to be new offers or better offers? Or because it's not that competitive at the moment, like, no, you said, 90% of the fillers.
As I say, we've 90% of the market is controlled by Bank of Ireland, AIB and Permanent TSB. That's not good. Now, we've had new entrants, as you mentioned, Nua, Avant have come in about, well, 4 years ago. You've MoCo have come in, and Revolut are due to come in. Now, they were to come in before this, but look, for different reasons, they haven't launched it. But they will have an impact because look at what they've done to the current account market. They have they've over 3 million customers in Ireland. So they will make a difference. Now, whether they can price their product at a cheaper rate than AIB or Bank of Ireland, I'm not so sure, because on one side, they're paying much more money than AIB are on deposits. And you can't do both, pay a high rate on deposits and have a lower mortgage rate. So that'll be an interesting challenge for them.
The advantage to them seems to be with the digital bank's turnaround time. In this, it takes weeks and weeks to turn around an approval in principle with one of the pillar banks, whereas I had a broker tell me he submitted an offer to Nua, I think it was, in the morning and had an answer in the afternoon.
Sean, you're absolutely correct. What Nua have done, in my mind, is they have revolutionized the mortgage market because, yes, I can submit an application today at whatever time, 2 hours later, if you've got a property, I will get a loan offer from Nua.
Wow.
I could be waiting 2 weeks to get an approval in principle from the banks, the mainstream banks. And the basic problem is the mainstream banks have legacy systems that are held together by rubber bands.
Right.
On a regular basis, ATMs fail with AIB, Bank of Ireland, you can't get online access. But in terms of what Revolut have done on that, you don't see those problems. Same with Nua in terms of the mortgage space. They're using AI. And they just have a much more slicker process. They've no legacy systems. They're using modern online application facilities. So they've made a significant difference in terms of service. Absolutely. Pricing is keen at the lower loan to value ratios. But if they were to adjust their 80 and 90% loan to value ratios, they would get a much more significant share of the market because their processing is so much better.
Okay, lots to think about and lots to watch in this space in 2026. Michael Dowling from Irish Mortgage Brokers, thanks so much for joining us on Newstalk Daily.
Thank you.
That's it for today's episode. You'll find more on the Go Loud player or at newstalk.com. Plenty we've done on housing, the housing crisis, mortgages, everything else. If that's your bag and you want to hear a little bit more, my thanks to producer Tom Donnelly and Micheál O'Connell on research. I'm Sean Defoe. Talk to you later.